The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy.
Yeah. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We know it's you. We know that you are gay. We know that this is not who you are.
I thought that they were going to come after me. It felt like a witch hunt.
It was a home to me. Such good friends, and I felt like I was excommunicated.
I didn't know that there was another option. I didn't know Christians that thought it was okay to be homosexual. I didn't know that. Would have been nice to know.
I'm Hannah Waddingham, and this is Hustle Rule, an audio docuseries featuring the untold stories of women soccer players around the world, based on the book Under the Lights and in the Dark, written by Gwendolyn Oxenham. I don't know whether it's just who I am inherently or whether it's because I come from theatre with a mother who is a professional opera singer, but I've been surrounded by gay people since before I can remember. And as for my own child, I've always brought her up with a panel of godparents, and two of them are a gay couple who've been together for 25 years and are without doubt the most successful married couple I know in terms of their companionship and their ethos for life and how they just support each other. And so my brain has a really tough time computing why religion and homosexuality wouldn't be able to get along together. The judgment that goes on. I just can't fathom what business it is of anybody's. It's difficult for me to believe that in today's day and age, there are communities where gay people are not welcome. But it's something that I had to confront head on in this episode. And I'm helping to tell this story because I want people to know that it isn't a thing of the past, unfortunately. It's still very much happening today. The Charlotte Eagles is a semi-pro soccer team in North Carolina. They play in a summer league called the WPSL, the Women's Premier Soccer League. It's the highest level women can play while still maintaining their college eligibility in the US. And the Eagles aren't some random middle-of-the-road team nobody's heard of. The Eagles are the best team in the South and won the nationwide league championship in 2001. The team is also an evangelical Christian organization, which isn't a secret. Every player who goes there is fully aware that their summer will revolve around worship and Bible study almost as much as soccer. But there is one thing that many players didn't know when they moved to Charlotte. The Eagles is not a welcoming place if you're gay, whether you love Jesus or not. This is the story of a team that will only accept players who identify as straight. It's a story about the gay players who left that team in pain. And a story about another team that many of those players now call home. And the rivalry those teams share, culminating in a game that means more than what ends up on the scoreboard. This is Play Away the Gay. This episode, I'm handing the mic over to writer and former player Gwendolyn Oxenham, who's spoken to former Eagles spanning over a decade and has been following the team since she was 17.
Nice! Nice save! Nice!
This story starts in Montevallo, Alabama, where every year the best youth soccer players in the South gathered for 6 days to compete for a spot on the Olympic development team. It was here, in a dorm room, that I met Paige Ledford when we were 14 years old.
I just remember the essence of you. I feel like, you know, it's just this, like, very warm, like, Gwendolyn.
Aw, thanks, Paige.
I can't believe we're still, like, we're actually talking to each other now. You know, there's always just been this easy thing between us. I don't know.
Paige wore her hair down while she played. This mess of white hair would fly behind her, giving us all the impression that she was a wild, feral child from the sticks, which wasn't too far from the truth.
I grew up in Ooltewah, Tennessee. Best place ever. It's kind of on the edge of the Appalachian Mountains.
She stalked the field like a hunter in the woods. Deft, smart, and strong. Coaches adored her for the same reason we did. She fit no mold. She was an only child born to two parents who rarely spoke.
My parents were very quiet people, hardly ever talked in the home. They didn't ever ask me questions, and I never asked them questions.
They'd send her off into the woods to play by herself, and you could see that creativity and self-reliance while she played. And she was as quiet as her parents. We thought of her as our silent wonder and relished each new detail that we pulled out of her. She got a nearly perfect score on her ACT, she was homecoming queen, and she held the clean and jerk weightlifting record for the state of Tennessee. During the summer, after my freshman year at Duke, Paige and I lived together and played for a semi-pro team, the Memphis Mercury. We drove around, blasting Old Crow Medicine Show and ate peaches from roadside stands. Midway through the summer, she bought smoke bombs from a fireworks stand. And for the rest of the summer, she'd just toss them out the truck window as we left the practice field.
It's like an entrance, right? I don't think I felt like that at the moment, but I can picture it as like fighters like showing up at the fight or something.
The following year at Clemson, Paige got a girlfriend. They came to visit me at Duke. My normally silent friend was giddy, chatty, boundlessly happy.
Yeah, I was totally in love with Abby. Thought I wanted to be with her forever.
By 2005, Paige is playing for the Charlotte Eagles. So are several of my other soccer friends who all had girlfriends when I knew them. Now, playing for the Eagles, they did not. This mystified me. What was this? Conversion therapy via soccer? What was happening? My four independent, competent, super talented friends went to play on this team with one feeling in their hearts and left with another. While I was suspicious of the Eagles, my friends loved the team. Here's Amanda Martin, who I also met in Montevallo when we were preteens eating granola bars and goldfish in the dorm rooms. She was a scrappy goalkeeper with green eyes that really bored into you.
I thought it was the best place I'd ever been. To me, it was immediately home. I felt accepted. I felt like that thing that meant so much to me, which is my faith, like to share that with everybody. And also we were really good at soccer. So it's like to play at that level and everyday practice was this high intensity practice. And then it would be followed with like a Bible study. So to me, this was like the best environment. I loved it. I loved it until I got kicked off.
Amanda played for the team for 3 seasons. But in the middle of all of the joy, worship, and soccer, she felt conflicted and confided in her teammates.
I would not say, like, I struggle with homosexual desire. Like, those words would never fall out of my mouth like that. But I think I would say in the past, I've had really close female relationships and I would never talk about it like it was in the present. It was, but I just was hiding, covering, a lot of covering who I really was. And we would pray about it. Some of my teammates would lay hands on me and I would want that to, like, you know, pray that this desire goes away.
And for Paige, the organization encouraged her to share her testimony.
I guess because of my story of having a girlfriend and then becoming Christian and giving that up for Jesus, like, I had a special story that they would like me to tell to other people to show the power of Jesus, you know, in your life. I guess the feeling was at the time was that God had, like, freed me from it.
And as for Amanda, after her third season,
it's like the off season. So it is, let's say, spring. It's still kind of cold. And I get a phone call from our general manager and he just says, "Hey, are you available to chat? I would like to meet with you next week, you know, on Tuesday." And I immediately, like, was so nervous that I was like, "We need to meet today. What, like, today? It is not season. This is not like a year-round thing." It just felt so alarming. And he said, "Okay, well, can you, you know, be at the office at 4 p.m. And I get there and I'm nervous, like super nervous. He can't even look me in the eyes. And, you know, he's like leading me back to an office and he's very uncomfortable. And he just stumbles over his words and he says, "I just wanted to let you know, and I felt like I needed to tell you this in person, but you are no longer on this team. You're no longer a part of this organization." And I blacked out because at that point, I didn't even know to ask a question or what question to ask. And the whole thing is really shifty. And, you know, all he kept saying was, like, "We wish you well with your faith with Christ." The only thing I know is that there are people within the organization that know that I've had girlfriends. And as I was walking out, head held down, like crying, I just kept apologizing because I felt like I was in the wrong. You know, I just kept saying, "I'm so sorry." And in my mind, I'm apologizing because I'm gay. But I don't say that because it's unspoken. We don't talk about it. Nobody has said, "Amanda, there are people in this organization that have brought your name to us as someone that, you know, dates women." I remember I got in the car and I'm like crying hysterically. I'm embarrassed. Just gotten kicked off of a summer league team in the off season in March. I was shunned from a community that I loved so much. It was such a home base for me. I felt like I will always be a part of this organization in some way. I don't know what it's going to look like. Like, I may not be a player, but maybe I'll be a coach for the Eagles. And I also felt like this was my church, right? So it was like, it was a home to me. Such good friends. And I felt like I was excommunicated.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So let me take you to the next season, 2008. There's a new flock of eagles. It's a mix of long-timers and fresh faces. And not everybody is prepared for the religious parts of this team.
I remember then getting my schedule for the Eagles, and I remember the first thing on there was a Bible study, like first thing in the next morning.
That's Heather Dittmer, now Davis.
After the first like 3 days, it felt like a preseason of not just soccer, but a preseason of Christianity. And so you're getting 2 days of these Christian morality lessons and Bible study and worship, and it's all new and all overwhelming. And so I think after about the first 3 days, we looked at each other and were wide-eyed and took a moment and were like, what have we gotten into?
And part of that is because the Eagles aren't just teaching the Bible. They were evangelical Christians sharing their personal journeys in their faith with each other. Then, about a third of the way through the summer, a teammate invited Heather to coffee.
So we went, we sat outside. We were just kind of chatting about, you know, the season so far and thoughts and where we came from. And she was a couple years older than me, and she was telling me about her story. And she had some rocky parts of her story that she shared very openly with me. And so I thought, oh, okay, we're going to be vulnerable with each other and are doing that here. And so I met her in that, and she mentioned part of her story being that she's been with women before. And I felt a surge of relief that, I'm not the only one here. And I knew I wasn't the only one, but this was the first person to have an open conversation with me about, as she said, her struggle. I hate that phrasing of, this is my struggle. No, it's not a struggle. That's your identity, honey. She was open with me about her struggle and of dating women and liking being attracted to women. And so I shared with her, oh, I've also dated women and I'm currently kind of talking to somebody on the team, which I was, but very informally at this point. And then we continued our conversation. It was not even like a bump in the road. She didn't bat an eye. I don't think she was surprised. And then we went our separate ways. We hugged, got in our cars, and then the next day we had a game. And before the game, there's always pregame chapel. So we do chapel, and then the songs stop. And usually when it's just time to be like, let's get ready to go out, let's, you know, play together, blah, 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 start transitioning to the game, I see this individual that I went to coffee with walking towards the front. I'm just tracking her with my eyes, and as she gets closer to the front, my whole body is like having this visceral reaction of like, I feel like it's on fire, and everything is sweaty, and I know exactly what's going to happen. She gets up in front of the room and so bravely shares that she recently has been experiencing homosexual thoughts and attractions to other women on the team, and that she wanted to bring this into the light so that there can be healing around it and kind of like this confession. It felt more like a confession. And she said, and I know I'm not the only one on the team that is struggling with this. Slow glance my way. My eyes go straight to the floor. I'm staring at my shoes for the next 30 minutes. And so she goes and sits back down and people are applauding her for her bravery. And then after she sits down, another woman that I think played for the team maybe 3 years before, something like that. She was a little bit older, had kids, just had been in chapel that day. She got up and was like noticeably angry. She was agitated and her body language, her fists were clenched, her veins were popping out of her neck, her face was red. She was like, had some rage, and she just said, this is unacceptable. This is not who the Eagles are. We do not do this. You should be ashamed of yourselves. This is not what our sisterhood is about. We are godly women. All of that. But like with vehemence behind it that you could just, I couldn't look at her.
Heather's not the only one shaken up by this moment. Lydia Vandenberg had been on the team for 3 years.
I've dated men and women at the time, and so hearing this meeting, I was definitely scared. I thought that they were going to come after me. It felt like a witch hunt, like, okay, who else has dated women before? It kind of made me start to think, because up until that point, it had all been like, oh, we love everyone, but, you know, and it's like, wait, that's not right. Like, you can't, that's not, you know, unconditional love. Like, oh, we love you, but, you know, I felt duped almost of like, okay, wait, you've thought differently the whole time. This group of people I've trusted and been mentored underneath and, you know, it's now like they don't love a certain group of people, you know? So I was really just angry. All of a sudden, everything was coming to light and I was, okay, my time is, I think, done with this organization.
A week after the meeting, the team is in Atlanta for a game, which is Heather's hometown.
So I'm like so excited to be back in my city. I knew my folks were going to come to the game. And so I'm just like, I'm excited to be there and to be away from Charlotte. And we're at the Holiday Inn and it was the morning. We went out for breakfast, did a walkthrough, and then you go back to your rooms and you just like have your legs up for a little bit prepping for the game. And I get a knock on my door and I open it and one of my teammates is standing there. And she asks if we can have a talk. I knew this teammate was part of the leadership and had been tasked with bringing this issue to light. I knew exactly where this was going. Like, right, who wouldn't? So she takes me into the hallway. I remember there being like an AC unit box at the end of the hallway, like, you know, old school hotels. I remember sitting on the AC box and she was standing in front of me and I can't make eye contact. I remember the things of, we know it's you. We know that you are gay, that you struggle with this. We know that this is not who you are. What? I'm like, you don't know me. Maybe this is who I am, maybe this is not, but you've never had a conversation with me before this moment. You definitely don't know me. I say nothing the whole time, of course. And she just says, this is not who you are. This is not what Christ wants for you. This is not the vision that God has for your life. This is not why Jesus died for your sins, so that you might live in eternal love and blah, 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 all those things. And at some point, I just kind of tune it out and go to that place, that like deep down place of like lockdown of, don't cry. Don't say anything. At some point, she'll stop talking. She has a Bible. I think she prays for me. I think I say amen. And then I go back to my room and just, I cry for the first time.
Heather's best friend, Ashley, was also on the team. And even though she identified as straight and Christian, she wanted to be there for her friend.
I just remember kind of like this like righteous feeling of like, this is not, like, I'm not going to stand by and be okay with my best friend being treated and made to feel treated badly or made to feel like she was feeling in that time. I still think that I was probably unaware of a lot of the context that was going on.
And so, you know, you say you felt sort of righteous. Like, did you do anything?
I don't know that I did anything. I don't know that I did. That's kind of a tough question. I hope that I supported Heather. I hope that I made her feel loved and seen and cared for. And I think that I hope to her it felt like I did something. I didn't go to a captain. I didn't go to a coach. I didn't go to the GM. I didn't go and like stand up for her publicly. I also don't think that's really what she probably wanted at that time. I don't think that would have made the situation any better.
But if you asked Heather, she'd say Ashley did more than she knows.
During chapel, Ashley and I always sat right next to each other. We were each other's safety for different reasons. I could help her navigate the Bible and she could help me navigate social relationships. We were each other's kind of like buoy. She was already very much liked at the Eagles. Let me just take a second and catch my... She has always been like my ride or die, and she would pick me up and drive me to practice some days. She would make sure I had someone to pass with. She would stand next to me during prayers. So because of her, I had like one person, and that was enough.
And when it came to soccer, the reason why they're all there in the first place, Heather, who is a four-year starter, a scholarship player at a Division I university, the captain of her last summer team, and one of the leading goal scorers in her school's history, she rode the bench.
I think I was benched because I didn't buy into the system. I didn't sing along. I didn't raise my hands at worship. I didn't share my testimony. I didn't talk in Bible study. I wasn't dating a male Eagles player, and I was gay.
But in spite of all of that, Heather wasn't ready to give up soccer.
So my perspective was, after all of the outing and all these conversations finally have been explicit, I realized I'm going to be the gay girl on the end of the bench, and they're not going to play me. They're trying to get me to quit, you know, on my own. And I thought, I'm not going to give them that satisfaction. I'm going to sit here and they can look at me the whole summer. And I'm also going to play really hard.
And I don't really know where this came from because I was kind of surprised by it. But it was just like, I'm just going to hang on. I'm just going to stay here. One, because I'm going to play soccer and just get that joy that I can get out of soccer. I also want them to have to just deal with my presence on the team. Because what are you going to do? Are you going to kick me off? Okay, kick me off. Are you going to put me in like a circle and shame me as a group? Are you going to out me by my name? Like, what comes next? I was not invited back to play for the Eagles, nor would I have accepted that invitation. Mutually not a good fit.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Eagles are just one team in a semi-pro league that only plays during the summer, but it's not just the Eagles. The Fellowship of Christian Athletes, or FCA, is a nonprofit that works with student athletes across the world. If you played sports and you believed in God, chances are you've heard of them. And they too believe homosexuality is a sin.
I went on a mission trip with FCA after I'd become a professional athlete and had to sign their statement of faith, which also included this like purity code. Like, I won't drink, I won't do drugs, I won't engage in any sexual relationships, and I won't engage in homosexual activity.
That's Kelsey Davis, Heather's wife, who at the time was a professional soccer player. Until this moment, even after being president of FCA at her high school, Kelsey had no idea the organization believed being gay was a sin.
I wrestled with signing that paper because that was the community in which I felt like I could belong and be my fullest self. Because I got to be a Christian and an athlete. The two identities at the time that mattered the most to me. And so having to sign that paper felt like I was signing a piece of myself away in order to belong in this group. I just was like, okay, just sign the paper because I want to belong here and I want to go on this mission trip. After that trip, though, because I was a professional athlete and involved with FCA, I was invited to write, you know, I think like a small article or something for their magazine or website, and felt really convicted that I wasn't being fully transparent with who I was. And so I ended up, the person who had invited me to write the article, coming out again, saying, you know, actually, I'm in a relationship with a woman and this is who I am. And he said, thank you so much for your honesty. And basically, we are uninviting you to write this article and need to cut ties. The feeling, though, that I remember is your voice is no longer welcome here because of who you love and who you are. Thank you for being honest with us about that. And relationship done. I came into FCA when I was 16, went on that mission trip when I was 21. And that's the problem, is that you're welcomed into this community and told that you are loved by God, that Jesus loves you, that the community loves you. And so you give your heart and your soul to this community. And then you find out down the road that it's love, but. So what are you supposed to do with that? It's harmful to not be clear up front. So then the next step was, where can I belong as a Christian athlete? Is there a faith community? Is there a Christian community out there that I can be fully loved in? Because this place I thought I had belonged just said no.
FCA declined to participate in this story. As for the Charlotte Eagles, after Heather's experience, the team added their own player agreement. Now, in 2022, players must sign a piece of paper saying they will not engage in homosexual behavior in order to join the team. Instead of an unspoken contract, it's written in ink. When we reached out to the president of the Charlotte Eagles, we asked why players must sign a team document that says they will not participate in homosexual behavior. Here is their response. Players are representatives of Missionary Athletes International, MAI, while they are on the team. Because they represent MAI, we ask them to abide by our player agreement, which outlines organizational conduct policies consistent with God's word. Players are asked to sign the player agreement prior to the start of the season so they understand the expectations of them while playing for the Charlotte Eagles.
It was like, nope, you're not engaging in premarital sex. You will not engage in homosexual activities. You will not drink, smoke, long list of things, and you are abiding by this, and it's a spiritual contract. I'm playing at a very high level. Of course I'm going to sign this. Yeah. Like, you want me to come play soccer and talk about the Lord? Yes, I don't care what your piece of paper says. Like,
right.
Who is your piece of paper to tell me what my relationship with Christ is like? So that was really crazy to me. But if I have to sign a piece of paper that says I'm not going to do it to play quality soccer, that's fine with me, because you and me have nothing to do with he and I.
That was Chloe McCleary Small, and she's a former Eagles player. She's now married to a woman, and these days she's playing for a different team, 100 miles down the road in Asheville, North Carolina, a city nestled in the Blue Ridge Mountains, a proverbial blue dot in a red state. This is a community that loves its people just as much as it loves its soccer. It's a Saturday night in June, Pride Month, and the Asheville City Blues are playing the Charlotte Eagles. The Eagles are good this season, just like every year. They're undefeated, and no Asheville City FC team, men's or women's, has ever beaten the Eagles.
It's a sold-out crowd. Nobody was sitting in. Everybody was on their feet. The Southport Blues are screaming their heads off, banging their drums. The fireworks are going off with screams and shouts and people jumping up and down, and they create this atmosphere like no other.
That was Stacy Enos, one of Asheville's owners and a member of the very first U.S. women's national team. She's been married to her wife for more than 20 years. In fact, the whole team is owned and coached by gay women and rainbow-loving allies. Lydia, the player who left the Eagles after the witch hunt, is another owner. And the assistant coaches, Heather and Kelsey Davis.
You know, what we're trying to create is an environment where people feel like they can be who they are.
That's Megan Burke, another owner. She's a former professional player who now heads the NWSL Players Union. She's married to Jasmine Beach Ferrara, a gay pastor with a Harvard Divinity degree who's currently running for Congress.
A beautiful night for soccer in Asheville, North Carolina. Thanks for joining us.
This Charlotte side has proven that they are a strong team. They've got speed and athleticism to spare, and they proved it. They're coming into this confident, but Asheville is coming into it with a little bit of a fire.
This is a game between two different cultures. It's a culture war.
But you're playing in a league that is very open about their support of gays, and gays being in their league, but then you have a team that says you can't be gay in our team. Like, it just does not make sense. It really does not make sense. It really doesn't.
It's a rivalry. It's a derby. It's whatever label you want to put on it, but it's palpable. It's tangible. It puts a knot in your stomach and a lump in your throat because you want to prove that love wins.
The fans care in a way you would not expect. They're beating drums and leading sing-alongs. This is a scene that's hard to find even at the professional level. And for the players themselves, especially the gay players? Playing the Eagles is no small thing. Here's Asheville's Crystal Goss.
You take the wanting to win factor and you amplify that by 10, maybe 20. You know, you've got people that are basically praying for you to, like, become a different person or become someone that you're not.
And here's Asheville's Bianca Canizio.
It clicks in the back of your mind of, what are these individuals really thinking about me? Just that moment the ball goes out of bounds and your head looks up and you're looking at their bench staring at you. It's like, what do they actually think of me as a human being? What's actually being said behind closed doors about us, you know? How do you really feel in your heart?
McKenna Silber is a star forward for Asheville, but she actually played for Charlotte last season. And she remembers playing against Asheville on Pride Night. Before kickoff, players from both teams lined up at midfield for the national anthem.
Asheville City Soccer Club believes that when all people are treated as equal, no matter who they are or whom they love, we are all more free.
The team wore rainbow socks, and right before kickoff, rainbow-colored smoke bombs exploded across a dust-colored sky.
That was really tough because I was wrestling with a lot of things, and I was like, I'm definitely on the wrong side of this right now.
But it wasn't that simple, because McKenna also loved her time on the Eagles.
I think up front, it's very welcoming, and it's tough now looking back because I was never up front about my sexuality while I was there, ever. I didn't tell anybody until I came out in December, which was like 4 or 5 months after I had left. And because they didn't know that aspect about me, it was like, oh, like, we accept you, we love you. And that's what I was hoping to go back to.
So you mean, so when you played for the team, everyone was super accepting and loving?
Because they thought I was straight, yeah.
McKenna went back to college, and she met her girlfriend. It was a big life change, and she wasn't sure she'd still be welcome on the Eagles.
I called the head coach and I asked her straight up. I was like, I just need you to tell me straight up if I can come back and play. Can I come back while I am dating Katie, which is my girlfriend? And then it kind of got silent for a couple minutes and she was kind of like, well, if it were up to me, we would try and find a spot for you on the team. And I had my answer at that point because I knew there was a but coming. And she said, but the organization is pretty clear on what those rules look like. She said, so we could do a couple things, or one of those options was cutting off communication with your girlfriend and coming here, and then you could revisit things with her after the summer. And I remember sitting there being absolutely floored to even hear that request come out of somebody's mouth, not even for my sake, but for the sake of this person that I was in, that I'm in a relationship with. After that, I shut the conversation down pretty quickly because I knew that I was deeply hurt in that moment.
But McKenna found a home in Asheville, and she loves it.
It's just really cool for me to think a year ago, I was in such a dark spot thinking that, like I said, I couldn't be out and I couldn't love Jesus. And yet here I am witnessing and seeing people in the community, and representation, meaning there are outwardly gay people in the church and in Asheville and all over the place that are making it work and figuring it out because it is possible and it's the right thing.
Start fast, finish stronger.
Let's go, guys. Come on. Start fast. Let's go. Everyone in.
Say on three. 1, 2, 3.
See!
Let's go, guys. Come on.
Silber running towards the middle. Silber has some space, touching it into the box. Collision and pointing at the spots. Silber drawing the penalty.
Let's go see what's happening right now.
PK.
For who?
Asheville City against the Charlotte Eagles. 77 minutes.
A penalty for me.
How much left? The referee blows the whistle. Asheville City gets their revenge by a score of 1-0.
Okay. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, your final score, Hicksville 31, Charlotte Lady Eagles 0.
The Asheville players sprint to the stands after the final whistle, celebrating with their supporters. And then they do something else. Because after every game, the Eagles always invite the other team into a prayer circle where they pray for their opponent, win or lose. But at the end of this game, Asheville invited the Eagles instead. Chloe led the group.
Now come to us, come on!
Spiritually, and this community has grown me to be who I am today. And it's a community of love, no matter who you are, where you're from, what color your skin is, your sexual orientation, pronouns, what you believe and who your God is. This is a place that I call home and will always call home, no matter what that means to you. You will always be welcome in this circle, every time. So we appreciate you. Thank you for making this my home.
Oh my gosh, look at these humans. Hello, I've seen you in pictures. Hi.
And as for Gwen's friend Paige, it's been years since she left the Eagles. Paige is now married, she has five kids, and she identifies as queer.
You as a baby, I think, because Deacon was...
Several years ago, I just realized, like, the word queer actually helps me understand myself a lot. I've now realized I, like, kind of lost, like, 10 years of my life, you know, as a human being. But I had really shut off, just put like a big iron door on my emotions and feelings and didn't want to trust those things. I was just going to live by the Bible, follow Jesus, do what he said. When I just kind of shut off, like listening to my actual self and my intuition, my humanity, all that stuff, I just shut it off. I think it led to a lot of health problems that just bogged me down. I was like, I need to figure out what it's like to be human. And that's, I'm going to be Paige and find out who Paige is. And that's going to make me more like Jesus because I'm going to be more human. I'm going to be more myself. And I started feeling myself come back alive. Like started just feeling love in my life and like just things became more beautiful. Like honestly.
The conversation around religion and sexual orientation can sometimes feel limited, like there are only two options, as if you can be queer and not religious, or you can be religious and not queer. You've seen this debate play out for many of the players in this episode, over and over again. And while this episode has focused on Charlotte, North Carolina, and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, this is global. But women athletes all over the world are helping change the narrative.
God has always been with me, always. We've been in a relationship for 8 years, and we've only told people about our relationship 2 years ago.
That's Andressa Alves da Silva. She's a forward on the Brazilian national team. Religion flows strong through Brazil. The country has both the largest Catholic population in the world and a rapidly growing evangelical Christian population. About one-third of Brazilians identify as evangelical. And when you're a professional player and a star of the national team, a lot is at stake.
So in Brazil, we were afraid of coming out and missing out on campaigns because we were gay, big brands, big events. So that was one of the concerns that we had. So that's why we didn't come out. And the afraid of any repercussions against our family, things that happen when you're gay. But we talked about that together, right? Our family was beside us. And we came out. It was the best thing we did. After that, our relationship really evolved. And I can see that in a way that I can help other people that may be afraid of coming out because they may be afraid of losing something because they're gay. The fact that I'm a gay player, a gay person, didn't take me away from God. Quite on the contrary. Everything, I owe all of that to God.
If you go around and keep a secret your whole life, I think there will always be a part of you that's like not happy. I felt that myself before I was open about my sexuality.
That's Denmark's Pernille Harder. She is a superstar, one of the top strikers in the world. In 2019, Denmark failed to qualify for the World Cup, but Pernilla attended as a fan, cheering on her partner, Swedish footballer Magdalena Eriksson. And after Sweden beat Canada in the round of 16, she kissed Magda in a moment that went viral.
No, I don't think anything special. Like, it was just a natural kiss. I actually didn't even think about that someone would take a picture of us in that moment. I think the day after, I woke up to like 10,000 new fans on Instagram, and I on Twitter also it exploded. In Denmark and Sweden, it is quite accepted to be gay, but there is many areas in the world where it's not. And I think for places where it's not accepted, I think a picture like this means a lot. If you look at my career, it actually, after I became a couple with Magda, that started to really explode. And yeah, I think that's a part of it, that I felt free on and off the pitch.
Freedom. Freedom to be who you are and to love who you love. That's the ideal. I think to be pushed out because of your sexual preference, the ripple effect and the downward spiral of mental health is massively dangerous. And here's what myself and the women you've heard from want you to know. If your family or your team or your religion doesn't accept you, you can build your own family, your own team, and your own religion. Maybe look to Asheville City, a place where they shoot rainbow-coloured smoke bombs into the sky and wave banners that proclaim, "Y'all means all." Join us for the next episode of Hustle Rule, La Gringa, the Ali Long story. Hustle Rule is a production of Waffle Iron Entertainment, Range Media Partners, Observatory, Audio Up Media, and iHeart Radio. Written and directed by Gwendolyn Oxenham. Hosted by me, Hannah Waddingham, and is based on the book Under the Lights and In the Dark, written by Gwendolyn Oxenham. The executive producers are Justin Biskin from Waffle Iron Entertainment, Bo Balligan from Range Media Partners, and Sean Titone from iHeart Radio. Co-written by Ruth Hilton, produced by Gwendolyn Oxenham, Ruth Hilton, and Jordana Glick-Fransheim. Co-produced by Jimmy Jelinek and Jared Goodstadt. Edited by Carrie Caulfield-Arick. Sound design and mixing by Jeremiah Zimmerman. Music by Jeff Peters and Bill Mart. Theme song performed by A1 LaFleur. You'll find more podcasts from iHeartRadio on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.